702. Weird and wonderful.
Vangile Makwakwa is entrepreneur, trauma coach, and author. She joins me now on the line. Vangile, thank you so much for agreeing to talk to us. We're going to be talking about the womb. My producer, Ntateng, was saying, listen, I know you're going to love this conversation. I know you're going to love this conversation. What is it about the womb that, one, Ntateng believes I'm going to love so much, but the womb is always something that we talk about, you know, when we talk about babies, moms, and so forth. And I'm reading in the introduction that Ntateng prepared for me that even men have womb chakras. What does that mean? Good evening, by the way.
Oh, wow. Good evening, Aubrey. Thank you for having me. Well, I think what she was excited about with the womb is that I got asked to come on because I shared a story about my birth story, and how my mother shared my birth story with me and how it completely transformed how I then approached my business and completely changed my approach to growing my business and how I did work because I understood my womb story. Then I started to understand how I work from the time I was in my mother's womb. So that is the power, right? And secondly, I've been able to then teach other women to also understand their birth story. But beyond that, because I work with ancestral money trauma, but beyond that, also understand how the trauma that we store in our wombs. And so what is the big deal about the womb? To answer that question in a nutshell is that the womb is often seen just as a place to birth babies, but it's something I discuss in my current book, which was released in October 2023, where I talk about the fact that the womb is actually like, there's a lot of research that has been done that the womb is, for women, it's not just a place to birth babies. It's also a place to birth our greatest dreams, new projects, creativity. I mean, wow. And if we work with the rhythm of the womb, then we can get so much more done because then we're honoring our own natural rhythms as women.
You know, strangely, and for a reason that I'm not yet sure why, and perhaps as we continue to talk, I get what you've just said to me now. I do. I get it. There's a part of me that says, yeah, of course. The womb is the first place that we begin to physically exist, right? Where we begin to formulate, to be, right? And I imagine that what happens in that place, the I think it's the Setswana word, intati, popelo, is the place of your not just creation, but of your being built, of your, anyway, I'll find the right words.
Isbele. It's your first home.
It's your first home, right? So
exactly.
So I absolutely get what you're saying, and I'm hoping that as we continue, I'll be able to be clearer in why it is that I get you. What is your business? You know, the business that you got insights from when you got to understand your birth story.
So I'm the founder of Wealthy Money, and I'm also the author of What's Your Money Personality? Changing the Way Black Families Manage Their Finances. My book is at Exclusive Books and Take a Lot, basically everywhere, and also available internationally at some stores.
Sure.
But my work is around ancestral money trauma. And how I came to this work was because I work with the nervous system and understanding how we store ancestral memories in the body and how to rewire the nervous system. I eventually ended up going into Tantra and going to India. I'm a nomad. So I ended up moving to India for a while to live out there and study Tantra yoga. for those that don't know, tantra is usually associated with sexual energy, but yeah. actually tantra is more a way of life. It's more like, basically, if you think of Eastern ways of life, but in the West, it's been, I want to say, for lack of a better word, bastardized to be so attached with anything to do with sexual energy. But within tantra, there's a lot of work that is done around understanding sexual energy. But beyond that, for women, also understanding the womb. So I chose to go the discipline of tantra yoga, and I'm a and one of the things that I do is I'm a tantra yoga teacher. And within that, you learn a lot about what is how to work with the body to basically start to release certain emotions and memories that are stored in the womb, that are stored in the tailbone, along the spinal cord, basically in the first three chakras of the body. So I think that's really, really important, because the womb, as I explain in my book, is that the womb is actually the one place where, for most women, we hide the things that we are most deeply ashamed of or most deeply scared of. Because it's almost like, if you think of the womb, it's the place that is so, with sort of quote unquote dark, where nobody can see. You know, nobody can see what is happening. I like say your face. We can say, hey, your face is puffy. Something's up there, you know,
yeah.
or your hand is swollen. But with the womb, we can't easily see that. So we tend to hide our emotions there. But because studies that are being conducted, especially studies on epigenetics inheritance, the University of Utah is one of the leaders in these studies. They're looking at how ancestral trauma passes from one generation to the next. So studies show that we inherit our ancestors' trauma and our ancestors' wisdom. And what will happen, so this is part of what I truly, part of my research that I say, this is my theory, that I believe that we tend to store trauma in the same parts of the body that our ancestors stored trauma in, because that's what we learn. So for women, most of us stored our deepest fears, our deepest shames around all sorts of trauma, particularly sexual trauma, things that we're not ever allowed to mention at home, how we look, all those things get stored in the womb. And then from one generation to the next, every woman in that lineage learned to store those traumas there. And even collectively as women, we learn to store those traumas there. And suddenly it manifests as fibroids, it manifests as menstrual pain, it manifests in many different ways. And not only that, you live in a world where the ruling power, so to speak, is masculine, right? So what we are taught is to basically not heed anything that has to do with the feminine. So we've been taught to actually even forget how we work with the womb, how to access our own womb wisdom, and how to do everyday work in terms of just consulting our wombs. So as a result, the womb gets even more traumatized, because it's, like I said, it's easy for us to notice the swollen hand, but this part of us that is so deeply hidden, we don't even understand it. We never ever pay attention to it. And so the traumas just keep growing and just keep sitting there. And it just keeps getting passed down every generation.
Tell me about your birth story that was revealed to you by whoever. Is it your mother? Tell me about that.
Yes. So my mom is a nurse and also a healer, but she has, which means that she works with herbs as well, right?
Sango.
She's not even a nyanga. She's just someone that is gifted with herbs and medicine.
Okay.
But sangomas and nyangas consultant. My sister is a sangoma though.
Right.
But one of the things that she speaks about often is that if you want to understand your child, and even understand the career that your child may go into. Observe who your child is in the womb. Observe how your personality changes in the womb. The things that you become interested in when you are pregnant with your child that were probably not your interests, right? Even your food taste. So my mother shared the story at one of my retreats with some of my clients, and she said one of the things that she knew when she was pregnant with me, she then developed this really interesting obsession with indigenous foods. And she started teaching as much. She couldn't get
enough. When she was pregnant with you?
Yes.
Right.
She, as a nurse, she had been trained in Western medicine.
Right.
Right. But she knew this. We've always had this knowledge in my family around traditional medicine and herbs and healing. But then she said when she fell pregnant with me, it was like she just needed all that information on how to eat straight from the ground, indigenous foods, right? She couldn't eat a lot of things that were chemical, and no doctor would actually, that had chemicals or were processed. And this becomes important because I actually very rarely eat processed foods, and I went vegan at 16, and she never questioned it because she said she saw it from the time she was pregnant with me.
Yeah.
So it never became a problem because she said even the things that she wanted and she craved when she was pregnant were very much like things grown from the earth, plants, all those things. And then she said the other thing is she noticed that she always wanted to teach about things and she wanted to write and she couldn't get information out fast enough about
all of the characteristics that later become who you are.
Exactly. And then she was like, she's not that kind of person. And not only that, I'm a nomad. She fell pregnant with me when she was living in a village in Limpopo. You know, I spent most of my life traveling to foreign countries where I don't live in cities. I tend to live with the locals in remote villages where you have to take, like, you can't even get there by car.
Yeah.
People have come to visit me and they're like, how do you get here? And I'm like, I don't even know how I ended up here, but I've been here for like a year. So welcome. And she said, so she never ever stopped me from traveling because she said she realized that that was also part of who I was. The circumstances
Your mom, however, had the benefit of insight into these things. Most of us, when we're pregnant, probably don't go as far as thinking that way about our behaviors during pregnancy. I'm including myself there. I perhaps shouldn't, because you know, I'll probably never fall pregnant myself. But women out there perhaps don't have the insight and the presence of mind to realize that, hey, I'm behaving in a particular way, and therefore I may be a repository for certain characteristics that may be mirrored in my baby. Or am I wrong? Because maybe women are aware of these changes in behavior, these peculiarities that you describe. But do they understand perhaps the connection between those pregnancy peculiarities and how their babies turn out? Is it something that's understood?
You know, I love this question because what I have seen just from my own experience is I find that women in rural areas tend to understand that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very similar across countries. They tend to understand that. But like as you move closer to the city and quote unquote civilization in different countries, that seems to be lost. And I think part of it is for us to be, it requires an awareness, right? So I think because cities tend to be so busy and you need to be always on the move, what's happened over time is that women are taught so much to be out of their bodies and out of their wombs, so they don't necessarily even see this, right? And they just, you pop a pill, you get on the pill, you pop a pill, you don't notice certain things. If you feel pain in your womb, you take painkillers, right? And that's something that, of course, this is part of civilization. This is how you grow. But I think when you're in spaces where you can slow down and really start to go within and become self-aware, you start to reflect on these things and you start to become aware. So I think why my mother became aware was, again, she was in a remote village as a nurse in those days. That's where she was placed. She says one car would come once a day and you could go to town with that and then come back with a bus. So there'd be one car, one bus, right? So she also then had that time and that space to go within and reflect. And in that space, she could also hear, but she was also surrounded by older women who knew these things in that village. And then they would tell her, this is, observe this behavior because your child is communicating with you. Yeah. But it makes sense, right? Because it's like you're carrying another consciousness within you.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things we perhaps are going to learn to disabuse ourselves of is the idea that cities are civilized places. the older I get, the more I realize that our understanding of what civilized is and what it is not is pretty warped. And if cities are anything to judge civilization by, then, you know, we're in big trouble. So I agree with you that there is a higher level of natural consciousness in areas that are considered to be rural, in areas that are considered to be, there's a higher level of consciousness. There's a higher level of community. There's a higher level of resignation to things that go beyond our ability to simply pop a pill for, you know? So I get that. I want to move closer to your certainty about what you hypothesize. In other words, I get at a very deep in intuitive level what you are saying to me. That the womb is your first home. Mm-hmm. It's at the most protected place of our torso, right? Mm-hmm. It is warm. It's the one place that we are most protective of. And so I get how that is the home for a new life. And if it's the home for a new life, I also get how, and all of this is intuitively, not, I have no science for it, but I also get how it is the place where you are most influenced at your most formative stages of life, right? I get how we are not only influenced by stuff that we can perceive intellectually, because we are more than intellect. We are energies that are aware of things. So I get that also. Intuitively. Yeah. Science, give me the science of this, Vangile, or don't we go there?
Okay. When you say give you the science, what do you want me to talk about? Yeah.
What I mean by that is how do we become certain of this which I feel intuitively? How do I make it objective other than my intuitive accepting of what you're saying? Is there another way of objectively explaining what you're saying to me?
Okay, that is fair enough. I love that. So I'm going to take it from So if you're talking about first homes, there's two or three ways that I'm going to answer this. So the first way is to say, objectively, scientifically, the reason why this also makes sense to you on an intuitive level is because right now, science tells you, play your baby Mozart, Beethoven, and that somehow it shapes them in the womb, right?
Is that the story? Is that what they people do?
I mean, science, yes. Science explains that you can talk to the baby in the womb. You can play them calming music. And most of us kind of understand that.
Right.
We know that if you smoke or drink, it affects the baby. If, you know, the things that you do outside as an adult and you're pregnant have an impact on the baby. Right.
Yep.
So
I mean, right down to nutrition. What you eat, what you drink, is going to influence the baby. What you listen to, how you feel, is going to introduce the baby. I think that there's enough scientific studies that have spoken to that. So I get you. Yeah.
Exactly. So there's not much to talk on with that, yeah. Right? So that's one of the first things. But most of us are when you're talking about in terms of emotions, we also understand that emotionally, how the mother feels impacts the baby, right? But here's another study. There's interesting studies that are being done, right? Children that, studies are starting to show that when you disturb a baby in the womb, right, like if babies that have cesareans and at the same time don't get breastfed can have mental health, can struggle with mental health at a later date, right? So, again, that there's something about this honoring of the womb that we can't just go in there and just take out the baby and also not breastfeed it, that these two things that if you breast, obviously the chances of that go down when there's breastfeeding. So that there's something about this connection to this home that impacts us on a very mental health level, right? Mm. So science starts to show that, studies show that. But also, I think that we can't dismiss the fact that, like, when the things that we notice that a baby actually has, that we can actually see how a baby is going to behave based on the state of our own wombs, right?
Right, right.
So even now, there's a reason why science does studies. It's almost like if this home was not important, why is it that we as women need to be healthy in the womb? Is not at all important to the baby.
Can I tell you something? A conversation I had with an old woman in Gwandebele, you know, where my people, it's a rural sort of area. And we were looking through a magazine and a very well-known sort of artist was pregnant at the time. And there were pictures of her sort of flaunting her baby bump. I think that's what it's called these days. And, you know, just showing off her pregnant stomach, right?
Yeah.
And she said to me, but that's not right. She said to me, so I said, but what do you mean it's not right? You know how Boko goes, oh, I'm not having my time to live. but the essence of it was, she should not at this stage of the pregnancy. Oh, by the way, the woman I was speaking to is a midwife, a traditional midwife. Mm-hmm. She said at this stage of the pregnancy, the womb, the stomach of the mom, should not be exposed to the elements. Because baby inside is beginning to develop in ways that nature wants to keep secret as the uniqueness of that baby is being formulated. So I found that deeply profound because she said it's not just about I'm paraphrasing, Vangile, right? I'm really paraphrasing. But
no, keep going. I'm actually looking through my book, my ebook, because I've actually got studies in my current book on this very topic, but I can't remember the names. Yeah. So please keep talking, because I'm going to get that.
So what I understood of what she was saying was that in the formation, popelo, the formation of a human being in the womb, there is a point where the individuality, the unique, once in a lifetime formation, what makes that person a unique creature, happens at a certain moment in the pregnancy stage. And in that moment, that child must be the mom and the baby in utero needs to be covered, because that is when Uzim, God, is making a unique creature, not just a baby, but a unique human being. And the exposure of the mom and the womb scuppers that process. I don't know where she gets that and how, but it just resonated so powerfully to me, and I thought maybe this has got to do with, I don't know, I thought maybe this is the conservative side of me saying yes, but I mean, is that something that you hear as we talk?
I mean, I don't know about that, because I also think we have to be mindful that certain things have also been influenced by the patriarchy when it comes to women and pregnancy and what we can and cannot do. And then it's sort of over time intermingled with spirituality, so to speak. You know, but yes, the study of epigenetics does look at how our relationship with our environment literally impacts what is going on with the baby in the womb. So there is a study that I was trying to find what it is, but it's somewhere in my book where it's studies done here in South Africa that mothers that were pregnant during apartheid at the height of the Soweto uprisings, when the kids that were born during that era are most likely to struggle with mental health, depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation. They actually followed those women in South Africa. And now that it comes back to what you're also talking about, which is that the environment that you as a mother are in impacts the baby, right? So if we're looking at apartheid and looking at everything and these studies, then what we can conclude is that these mothers that were exposed to that
stress,
heightened stress, those babies felt that stress in the womb and are now carrying it in their bodies and are exhibiting it in terms of mental health challenges right now.
Well, there's an author, and I'm sure you're very aware of him and know of him, Eckhart Tolle, who speaks of pain bodies in very similar ways, of how we inherit. And you've heard people speaking of ideas such as generational curses or generational blessings, or you've heard that kind of conversation. But the idea behind the Eckhart Tolle's pain body is precisely that we inherit over generations. He speaks about people that were in the Holocaust, people that were in apartheid, how we inherit from previous generations, our ancestors, the pains, the unresolved issues, the complexes of a generation before us, and we exhibit some of those attributes, some of those complexes in the next generation, if they are unresolved, if they are not understood, that they live in the body, literally. And sometimes, as you said, they manifest in various sort of ailments. You pointed to fibroids with women and so forth. But I want to read you some of the messages coming through on our social media platforms, on our 702 WhatsApp line. Ducky the tutor says, "Hi, Aubrey. Ever wondered why kids who live in villages rarely suffer from illnesses caused by modern pathogens? I'm one of them. Survived lots of ailments due to eating organics, i.e. worms, locusts, and so forth." And I would agree with that. I mean, I've just been watching a documentary on Netflix called The Gut. And it speaks of that reality of how we don't have a diverse enough bacterial reality in our stomachs, because we don't eat enough diverse things, so that we have a more diverse biome, which creates a better immune system. So I would agree with what Taki the tutor says. But Monica, who's a Mamuruti, says, "So profound," she says. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Jeremiah 1:5 says, Monica, "You created my innermost. You knit me together in my mother's womb." And that is apparently a Bible psalm from Mamuruti in Mapeta. So it appears that there's resonance in what it is that you're talking about. I'd love to invite calls on 011-883-0702. If you are listening to this conversation and you hear what Vangeli Makwakwa is saying, I'd love to take your calls. I'd love to hear your calls also about what I talked about what I heard from a woman who is a traditional sort of midwife, who's saying, "I'm uncomfortable with this." Whether something like that has been a part of your experience, I'd love to hear from you on 011-883-0702. We're talking about the womb. When we come back from this break, Vangile is going to... No, we do? Have a break? Yeah. Vangile is going to talk to me about the male womb. Is there such a thing, a male womb, Vangile?
I mean, people talk about it energetically. I honestly can say, like, my forte has been working mainly with women and the womb for women. But yes, there is an energetic male womb, and I've heard talks of it when I was in Thailand and working with learning and studying under one woman that would give womb massages. But honestly,
a womb massage?
Yeah, those are very common, I feel. Well, like, yeah. I guess in Asia, it's common.
All right. All right. I'm looking forward to more of this stuff. I want to play you this voice notes just before we take a break.
Evening, by Aubrey and the team. And what happened when she was pregnant with me before she passed. And it's weird how I'm only remembering the story now. She loved to travel a lot during that time, all over the Sadiq region. And she walked to the hospital to give birth. Like, it's she had a car, but she decided to walk. And I don't know if there's any connection with my character. I'm getting emotional talking about it. But as I'm remembering now, a lot of things are resonating. Anonymous.
Wow. Wow. All right. Your thoughts about that?
Wow. I think I love that a lot of things are resonating for her. Thank you. I wonder, my first thing is to ask, does she love to travel? Is she a traveler? Is there a connection there for her?
It was a voice note. I want to hear a little bit about this idea of the male womb or the male energetic womb or however you talk about it. I'm really interested to hear that. But I want to pay the rent quickly. And then when we come back, I then want to connect all of these things to how we then become as people that are birthed from a particular experience of the womb. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Vangile Makwakwa is my guest. She's an entrepreneur. She's a trauma coach and an author. We're talking about the womb.
As 2024 makes headlines, EWN has some breaking news of our own. We have a brand new app and website. It's the digital home of the Eyewitness News team, and we're inviting you to experience it. Find all the things that keep you trusting EWN in one place. From breaking news,
trade unions have been warned to stay clear from using the deaths of 11 workers at the Impala Platinum Mine,
to the 2024 national elections coverage.
Eyewitness News, reporting live in Centurion.
The daily EWN TV bulletins, EWN traffic, business and sports reports, plus all the news, views, comments and analysis from South Africa and beyond. We've upgraded your EWN experience. It's sleeker, faster, better in every single way. Go to ewn.co.za or download the app from your app store.
702.
Weird and Wonderful.
Is the Weird and the Wonderful, and Vangile Makwakwa is my guest. We're talking about the womb, and we've been talking about some very, very interesting stuff. A lot of resonance with what Vangile is talking about from many, many of us. Talk to me about the male womb before I take a call from Teresa in the Northwest.
Okay. So, as I said, my forte is mainly working with women and the womb, but I have heard in the spaces, again, this is not something that I can speak with authority on, in the tantric spaces, that there's an energetic male womb, right? So obviously, because women would have the womb, would have a womb, right, in the biological sense, but there is an energetic male womb. So this would be basically the way that I've always understood it is a space where men are, where you are able to then connect with your inner feminine, that as male and female, we are both male. We have an inner masculine and an inner feminine. As a woman, I have an inner masculine. I also have an inner feminine. Ideally, we want as humans to be operating from both, right? The inner masculine and the inner feminine, regardless of what you look like. The gender doesn't matter in that case, right? Is that you want to be using both. Being human is that you're going to be working with the inner feminine and the inner masculine. And that's something that I actually know quite a bit about, right? Yeah. And I can speak on. So in the same way with men, working, if we're talking about the energetic male womb, it's about awakening that energetic womb so that you can start tapping into your inner feminine, right? So you can start working with the qualities that are considered quote unquote feminine in our culture, but that we really should all be working
with
masculine and feminine, because again, gender doesn't really matter in this case.
Let's speak to Teresa in the Northwest. Good evening to you, Teresa.
Good evening, Aubrey, and the speakers and your speaker over there.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I just to speak about my experience of the womb spiritually, like one speaker spoke about Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. This just tells us that the womb is the place where you are formed. Your purpose is actually formed, just like Jeremiah's purpose was formed there. You see, and God actually knew who he was is.
Yeah, but wasn't he just talking to Jeremiah? You know, why do we appropriate that story to all of us? Is this theologically allowed? So do you understand my question? I hear you, right? But that thing was a conversation about and to Jeremiah. Can Aubrey appropriate that reality?
It was to Jeremiah.
Yeah.
But still, in today's where we are today, we relate ourselves to those biblical characters. We actually relate ourselves to them. Like, for example, Rebecca. She knew the secret of her womb. We are talking about the womb here.
Tell me about the secret of Rebecca's womb. What happened there?
There was a struggle in a womb.
Some of us might not know who Rebecca was and what the struggle was. Just to give us the background again.
Okay, Rebecca was Isaac's wife.
Yeah.
And she was barren, and Isaac prayed to God for his wife. And Rebecca came to have to become pregnant. Yet, she was the one who knew the secret of her womb, and Isaac did not. To a point where she did what she did in order for Jacob to realize his destiny. Do you see?
What did she do? What did she do? What is this that she did?
All right, the oldest son of the twins was to be Esau. And now Esau is the one who's supposed to get the father's blessing. But Isaac, with Rebecca, had to change the whole destiny issue when she actually helped Jacob to steal Esau's blessing, Esau's birthright.
Okay. So, how does it relate to what we're talking about?
No, I'm just talking. We are talking about the womb.
Yes.
About purpose. My issue is about purpose.
Yes.
I'm gonna be talking about purpose. How I understand the womb. I'm commenting about the womb and understanding of the womb.
I'm pushing you, Teresa, because we're running out of time.
Yeah. I thought you were going to allow me to just use the short time that is there to talk about what I wanted to say.
You've got the floor is yours, Teresa, but we got to move, right? So go do it. Yeah.
Yes. So, I was going to say, my understanding is that the womb is actually something really spiritual. Even when it comes to Mary, the mother of Jesus, the angel actually said, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Do you see? So, I'm just saying that, like, from my experience, we dream, isn't it? We dream a lot. We are supposed to dream. It's even written in the Bible in Joel. We are supposed to dream. And I've realized that when a woman, for example, I'm not going to talk about men here. When a woman dreams of themselves pregnant, it is actually attached to their purpose. You see, the purpose of their child, whatever is in their womb. For example, in my own experience, I was born gray-haired, Aubrey, totally gray-haired.
Yes.
Such that my mother told me that the nurses ran around the world calling each other to say, "Come see, this child is gray." And I spent my first years being barbed like a cheese cup because people would just be like, "Oh, wow." And when I went to school, it made me cry. And then it started to multiply when I was in grade one, grade two. And my father started to get worried. He took me to the doctor, and the doctor simply said, it's wisdom. You see?
And had, had something happened before you were born, you know, to your mom that may have given us a clue of why you had this gray complexion to your hair?
What I can just remember is, like, when I was in grade one, I was sent to a boarding school, and as we were trudging on that dust road to go to school, my father put down my trunk, and then he knelt down to my height. And then he said, my daughter, I'm sending you to this school because one day when you grow up, you shall have a huge responsibility upon shoulders.
Okay.
I was grade one.
Okay, okay. Wow. Teresa, thanks very much for that. On the WhatsApp line, this person calling themselves X says, yes, I love to travel and I'm quite the fighter. She even bled and almost lost me at 7 months, but I made it and I was born at my family's wealthiest. I'm generally lucky, says this person. Begisisa says, Mr. Masango, you have to say pregnant of me, not pregnant with me, as I understand it. Okay, I suppose that's more of a grammatical sort of issue there. Clearly, there's connections, purpose, dreams, the Bible, the womb, all of that stuff seems to be connected somehow. And ultimately, you write a book that connects your financial sort of behaviors, your financial realities, with how you were incubated in the womb.
Well, not really. The book is about so much more than that. And the womb just features because I have to explain ancestral trauma and explain certain things and how we carry trauma in the body. But I have a journal where I teach women how to work with the womb and how to work with the womb in order to change their finances and grow their businesses. So it's not just, it goes beyond pregnancy. So what I talk about is the menstrual cycles. So in this journal, I teach women how to talk to their wombs, connect with their wombs, track their track where they are in their cycle. Don't just know that you're on your period. You've got four different cycles. You've got the follicular phase, the ovulation phase, luteal phase, the menstrual phase. And in every phase, the way that you approach working out, even exercising, is going to be different. Women are taught to exercise in the same way that men are taught to exercise, you know, like you just go, go, go the whole time.
Yeah.
And then most times you think that, oh my gosh, I must be the laziest person on the planet, because you've got 2 weeks within your cycle as a woman, 2 weeks in the month where you probably will not be able to lift those weights. You won't stretch as deeply. You won't run as fast. It's not because you're lazy. It's because your hormones are changing on a daily basis. And that is directly linked to your womb. And that also impacts how you show up in terms of business. So during your menstrual cycle, most of what I teach women is that's when you should be really cocooning. And you're probably not going to want to be around people. Your body wants to focus on itself and basically replenish itself. So one really interesting thing is that most women don't know, but some companies, even in South Africa, in Spain, it has become a law that women can take 3 days off on their cycle during their menstruation. They take 3 days leave. It's called menstrual leave.
Yeah.
Some companies in South Africa do that, but most people don't know, and HR won't tell you either. They just put it in there and they don't tell you because it really doesn't benefit them. So you go to work anyway, but you can actually take those days, right? And I love that Spain has made it a law and recognized that this is a sacred time for us. That time
is when you are probably going to be downloading from the ether and learning, oh, this is what I should, you'll come up with new ideas because you're being still, you're cocooning, you're in bed,
right.
You're nurturing yourself. So you'll come up with ideas on how to grow your business, how to make more money, what to do. Then you'll move into the follicular phase, right? This is right the day after your period. This phase starts. Your body is starting to slowly get back its energy. Obviously, you're not going to be going full mode into workout mode. You're still processing those downloads. By the second week of follicular phase, you're starting to feel, by the next week after that, you're going into ovulation phase. Then you're starting to feel like you want to see people. You're attracted to humans. You love life. You love people. You can't get enough of being around your friends.
Bongile,
you have so much strength.
I've run out of time. I'm so loving this conversation, and I could see that you were getting into your rhythm there. How do we get your book, and when do we have a second part to this conversation? I really have enjoyed this.
Honestly, invite me anytime for a second part, because
yeah,
there's so much more around the cycles of the womb and working with them around money and growing your business. But getting my book is available at Exclusive Books. You can just ask them, say, please, I'm looking for the book by Vangile Makwakwa. They'll let you know. It's called What's Your Money Personality? Go and take a lot, search my name, search me on Google. I'll come up.
Vangile Makwakwa, thank you so much for joining us.